Excellent, and it's a fairly constant line today as far as the temperature is concerned. It's a high of 3 degrees centigrade and it's a low of 3 degrees centigrade, fresh with freezing fog and rain and drizzle in the afternoon. Hey ho.
This is the Midweek Drive morning edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
Gabriella Peralta, what's the weather like in Gibraltar?
Sunny, probably around, I would say, between 13 to 17 degrees. Yesterday we had rain, but
no.
Not as cold as the UK.
Well,
might
now,
have rain today.
Oh, it's the uncertainty and excitement that makes life interesting. Not one, not two, not three, but five wonderful fine folk in the studio. Of course, we've got Claire Margerison. How are you, Claire?
I'm all right, thank you.
We've also got the wonderful Mary Dancy. How are you, Mary?
I'm fine, thanks.
Excellent. Then, of course, we have the fabulous, fresh from another breakfast show on Siren 107.3 FM, but a second year whose personification of wonderment, Natasha Armstrong. How are you, Natasha?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. And we also have the wonderful relative newbies, but still, you know, getting more experience on a day-by-day basis because they're still first years, although moving through that. We have Tessa Snart and, of course, Emily Jones. How are you, Tessa?
I'm very good, thank you.
And Emily.
Brilliant, thank you.
Now, critical things. Gabriella, you started doing these productions and packages a wee while ago because you graduated nearly 2 years ago, I think.
That's
astounding. So, in all that time, I know you were faithfully sort of saying, one day, perhaps there will be an ident that's produced. I mean, we had our little reveal last night for, obviously, Tessa, who already gets sort of partial ident and sort of identification. Claire, of course, it was sort of there. That's we'll work through for that. I mean, the sort of whole sort of package that we actually get just to remind folk and kind of provide a little insight in terms of what magic can actually produce with respect to the idents. We get something like this.
Finally, the citizens of Peterborough and Harrogate can rejoice with the legendary Tessa Snart and Claire Margerison as regular co-presenters on the Midweek Drive.
Very exciting. You know, this is great. And I know, you know, you've been there, so I think, but you know, it's like 4 years, you know, as a Gabriella, here's your treat.
Live from Gibraltar, with or without her faithful friend Frodo, it's time for Gabriella Peralta on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Yay!
Oh, thank you. It's lovely. And Frodo's asleep. He's just woken up, actually, I think, when he heard your yay.
Well,
put his head back down now on the ground. He's not that interested.
Yeah, 4.5 years we've worked on that one, and finally it's sorted through on that. I'll play some of the outtakes of Frodo and Frodo. Honestly, there's some sort of photo. Just like, what's going on here? Outrageous. However, moving on, what's happening in Gibraltar currently, Gabriella? I mean, what's the key thing? Because I think you were attending a graduation ceremony earlier in the week.
Yes, I've been gone all week, so I've been a bit out of the loop. I was at my boyfriend's graduation.
Sorry, a little sort of guitar coming in there, obviously, especially.
Okay, I thought I was like, is it going to have a soundtrack to my voice?
It's a possibility.
Where
was the graduation?
Oh, in Derby, University of Derby.
So actually, you were in Britain, you were actually in the Midlands, and yet you didn't actually come back to your old university.
Oh, it was a pit stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never mind. It's okay. You know, at least you've got your ident and promotional thing put together. Okay, let's switch it around from that perspective because it's that time, Gabriella, hopefully Claire and Mary will actually sort of hold fire on this because, you know, they've had sort of the feedback set systems, etc. We know it's sort of things that undergraduates work through from that point of view. Natasha, of course, experienced this last year with the official handback of the reporting continuity and change material, and I think you did fine sort of work together. And, of course, then went on to do Origins of Modern Britain.
It's well worth it.
But Gabriella, what advice would you actually give to Tessa and Emily from the point of view of, as I say, they're now in their second term here, and obviously one is from Peterborough, the other one is from Shropshire. Shropshire? Yeah, exactly. So what sort of thoughts? I mean, effectively, we've got a studio at present which has 4 prospective journalists. Three journalists and two. It's very confusing. It's the freezing. What is the Gabriella Peralta word of advice? Or indeed Frodo's as well.
So just a question. First year, second year?
Actually all years, effectively. You know, Natasha, second year. Tessa, first year. Emily, first year. And of course, you've already spoken to Mary and Claire, so they are, you know, just about ready to actually leave in all sorts of ways. So what, as somebody who's actually been out there, quite literally, you know, from Gibraltar Broadcasting TV service through to the Gibraltar Chronicle and so on and so forth, what is the message that Gabriella would like to share with these fine folk? And indeed, if you're not a student, just bear with us, okay? Just bear with us.
I would say, for especially second years, to focus on work experience, try and build up. I know it's daunting, but definitely you're doing the right job by helping out in Siren FM. And I think it's just working as hard as you can, making sure that you've got the work-life balance correct, because it is university and you only get to do it once. Well, unless you do more degrees afterwards, you never know.
Nicely put, exactly. You know, you can actually sort of go for multiple degree programmes. It's all sort of...
Yes, true, actually.
Simultaneously. And in the case of Claire, already confirmed to actually do a master's at the University of Kent at Canterbury.
Yeah, if I get a 2-1, which
it's all become, you know. It's all become serious and wondrous in its own sort of package now from that point of view. Incidentally, you may sort of well wonder what has happened with some of our other sign folk. Worry not, Emma has arrived, which means it's time to actually cue this particular number.
Emma Tinson, Eva MacDonald and Jessica Ward have clearly marked out their skills as premier midweek drivettes. Time now for Claire Margerison, Mary Dancy and Tessa Snart to step up to the mark.
Yes, unbelievably, even Mary Dancy has now actually got...
I liked the half rhyme in that jingle as well. Pretty good.
But there was shocking news, as Emma Tinson will allude to once again, because I'm sure, Gabriella, whether you've been... You've obviously spoken to, you've provided advice for our New Zealander, who was mentioned, of course, in that little ident that we just heard. You know, it's, Natasha, shocking news, because you know Jessica Ward.
Yes.
Exactly. You were also... Have you heard the shocking news?
No, I don't believe I have.
You have...
Is she in Spain?
She is indeed in Spain.
We're heartbroken.
Exactly. I mean, Emma, last night...
Yeah, I only found out last night and I was like, no, I might never see her again because me and Claire are graduating this year. She doesn't get back in time. I'm angry.
Yeah,
I'm going to have a very angry sex with that girl.
Yeah,
you know, so it's a message. So, and obviously, Natasha, you're aware of this. You know, so when I actually sort of said, you know, we talked about you joining me, and you said, yeah, well, Wednesday I'll be doing my shorthand. Somebody's got to do it.
Someone's got to do the shorthand sacrifice.
Exactly. You clearly knew she's went to Spain. You know, what can we say?
Well, she wasn't sure before Christmas. Mm. She said, oh, I might be in Spain next year, or you might see me. I'm like, wow, that's a pretty big if.
Yeah, I agree, outrageous. And of course, Gabriella, the key point is there you are, Spain, you know, in Madrid, no less. Now, I mean, as a citizen of Gibraltar, you know, to go to Spain, surely that can't please you.
I don't really mind either way.
She's chilled out. She's relaxed. Thank heavens. You know, there we are.
That's how we like it.
Trying to sort of work through that. I thought, you know, it's always going to be sort of an automatic thing. What will you be doing for today, Gabriella? Is it a case of off down to do some more court reporting, or are you doing something completely different?
Court reporting. I've just received a text to head down to court. This week there's a trial on a Ponzi scheme. So the usual pyramid schemes, you pay in, you are told promises that you will double your money up to, they said times eight your money, so eightfold. And then you find that you got no
cash. Doesn't happen. It's not. It's exactly.
It doesn't happen.
It's
good
exactly.
to be true.
It probably isn't true, exactly.
Yeah.
So
that's what we've got going on right now. Apart from that, I'll see what...
Well, that's all we need, really. I mean, that just sort of sets the whole thing in at a pace, really, from that point of view. Natasha, any questions for Gabriella? About life, the universe, any sort of other thoughts? No, there we are. It's just chilling out on that sort of basis because it is there. Well, Gabriella, you might be interested to know, and Emma as well probably got to do this, that the one thing that we can never play when Natasha Armstrong is in the studio is any of the Beatles, because I know, a bit of a shocker.
What's wrong with the Beatles?
She wasn't brought up with them.
There's no emotional connection, I'm sorry.
No emotional connection whatsoever. And in fact, you actually sort of cited Meatloaf, did you not?
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah, meatloaf. It's, you know, for vegetarians who actually that.
Yes.
Yeah. You see that confuses me, Emma. You know, I'll be honest. I'll say that does confuse me in a whole sort of stack of ways. And Gabriella, I mean, she's almost dropped the phone in shock now. Yeah. Frodo's just gone back to sleep. Lord knows what's happening.
I'm surprised you don't even know Hey Jude.
Exactly, you know, I mean, Hey Jude, surely, exactly,
but
no.
There's not much to learn.
The whole sort of segment of Origins of Modern Britain, you know, we have to be very careful, we sort of tiptoed around that whole sort of things, etc., but still, never mind. But anyway, likewise, she's going to gear up for a little touch of meatloaf in a few seconds after Emma Tinson has put those last two questions to you. Go, Emma.
Yes, Gabriella, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Of course I have.
Brilliant. And will you be joining us again on the show anytime soon?
As long as Alex sends me a message, I will be back.
You have your ident now, you see, so it's become official, really.
On a hot summer night.
This is meatloaf, by the way, just chuntering off with some sort of literary thing.
Will he offer me his mouth?
Yes.
Will he offer me his teeth?
Yes.
Will he offer me his jaws?
Yes.
Will he offer me his hunger?
Yes.
Again, will he offer me his hunger?
Yes.
And will he starve without me?
Yes.
Then does he love me?
Yes.
Yes.
On a hot summer night, would you offer your throat to the wolf with the red roses?
Yes.
I bet you say that to all the boys.
Oh, it must have been while you were kissing me. You took the words right out of my mouth. Oh, it must have been while you were kissing me. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, presumably by that stage the musicians have decided that's enough, just let them carry on in their own way. Hey-ho, it's 18 minutes past 8 o'clock on Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. Good morning, Richard Fitzwilliams.
Good morning.
Richard, we have not one, not two. We have six wonderful co-presenters in the studio today. That's six. Would you like me to introduce them to you?
Please do.
We have Emma Tinson.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, of course, who you co-presented with and indeed co-location reported with, actually, and indeed share the calendar with, which is even more significant, really, from my point of view.
Yes.
We have Mary Dancy, relatively new, but you have spoken to Mary before. So
hello.
There we are.
Hello.
We have a newbie to the morning edition, at least, and relative newbie all around, level one undergraduate student, Emily Jones from Shropshire.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, yes, very formal, very good. And, of course, Tessa Snart from Peterborough.
Hi.
Hello.
One thing. Claire Margerison is with us, of course, as well.
Morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And we have making her debut on the Midweek Drive morning edition, ace journalist level two student, Natasha Armstrong from Nottingham.
Good morning.
Hello, Natasha.
So, we spoke last night, as Tessa, Emily and Emma and Claire will confirm, about Peter Franklin in New York's view about the Hateful Eight. Exactly. He said it's all, you know, it's not a disaster. It's, you know, it's just, you know, police threatening to boycott the film, all sorts of other challenges within this whole system.
Well, you know, when you get the police threatening to boycott a film, what good can it do? It can only drive the numbers who actually go up. The facts are that there are boycotts that work, and there are boycotts that most certainly don't work, and that's one of them. I know that it was because of a speech that Quentin Tarantino, who's a radical figure and also a director who packs a punch, and someone who rather delights in outrageous behavior, provoked them. But being provoked is one thing, actually responding is another, and I think that a police boycott is something that really, really isn't one that makes a great deal of impact. What, in fact, the film is, however, is absolutely fascinating. But shall we go first into the award? Then we've got controversies.
Let's put to a vote, Richard, etc. In fact, let's take Claire's view. Claire, shall we go first into the awards?
Yeah, why not? Why
all
not?
Right, then.
I was listening to it this morning.
I mean, it has to be said, Richard, chumming it up with Kate Winslet.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Nice. Yeah, exactly. And another sort of other critic circus, etc. I saw you schmoozing there, Richard Fitzwilliams.
Well, you know, this was a chance to congratulate Kate, firstly, on winning a Golden Globe, which she richly deserved as the manager of Steve Jobs, portrayed in the film as the one person that this wonder figure who at great cost has changed all our lives, great personal cost. It's a wonderful film, I thought, and as you know, it's bombed at the box office and hasn't featured as it should in a certain
award. That's because the police didn't go and see it, Richard, quite clearly, you know.
Well, I was able to say to her that I thought she was superb, and I thought it was superb. And it was wonderful. It was, in fact, an evening. This is the London Critics Circle Film Awards. This was last Sunday. It was at the Mayfair Hotel. And to see and, in fact, to meet Dame Judi Dench, Sir Kenneth Branagh and Sir Tom Courtney, I mean, when you've got them and Kate Winslet, you have a mix of the very, very finest in British talent, and it was a remarkable evening, both for the fact that, as I say, there were these remarkable figures present, and also for certain choices made where the superb film, and we discussed it a while ago, 45 years, about the way marriage, the couple concerned being played by Tom Courtney and Charlotte Rampling, who alas couldn't be present, a marriage can be affected by something that encroaches on it from the past. A real shock. It's a very, very fine film, and that won several awards, including Best Actor for Tom Courtney, Best Actress for Charlotte Rampling, and, well, I thought it might win Film of the Year, but goodness gracious, what did? I'd like to know the panel's thoughts, because instead of The Revenant, instead of Spotlight, instead of Room, Carol, Amy, Inside Out, The Martian, no, it was Mad Max, Fury Road. And
okay, let's just hold it there. There's the reveal. Mary Dancy, Mad Max, Fury Road, winning Critics' Choice. Was that a surprise for yourself?
Well, actually, yeah, a little bit, because I didn't think about it. But, you know, I really enjoyed the film when I saw it. So,
okay.
But,
okay. Emma?
What about everybody else?
I'm quite angry about this decision.
Go on, share that anger.
I watched Mad Max, and my boyfriend made me watch the old Mad Max films as prep for going to see the new one. And I wasn't a great fan of them. And then I saw the new one, and I was even less of a fan.
Is it and as bad actually, as Fantastic Four? No, perhaps.
I actually watched The Revenant in the cinema the other day, and I'm amazed that that didn't win, because it was an incredible film. It really was.
Emma Tennyson is shocked, Richard. You can quote her on that.
I'm shocked and angry.
Shocked and angry.
And not only her, because I was also shocked. And when you consider, and I just give this some thought, that Best Director didn't go to Alexander Gonzalez Iñárritu for The Revenant. It went, wait for it, to George Miller for Mad Max.
Natasha Armstrong, are you shocked by that cinematic decision and critic choice?
Yes! There's been so much hype around The Revenant. I thought that it was a sure winner. It was. They've just made it. It's been all over the tellies, all over the papers.
Won its Golden Globes.
Yes.
But not Critics' Choice.
Can't believe it.
In fact, I would point out, in fairness, because I did a little research, I have to say, after the event, and I discovered Mad Max has been winning, Mad Max Fury Road has been winning quite a large number of critics' awards, especially in the United States. I suppose it's because of its format, which is somewhat unique. But the facts are, this isn't the only case that it's won. I was shocked and a little doubt that I share your view, but the critics and some of the critic circles abroad have made this choice. It was certainly an unusual one, and certainly one that, that amazed me. They've had categories, by the way, well worth mentioning. Saoirse Ronan, we mentioned her brilliant performance in Brooklyn that got honoured as Best British Irish Actress. And Tom Hardy, of course, in The Revenant and in other films in the last year, a really remarkable British Irish actor. A whole series of categories here which do honour the local talent, as BAFTAs do. And Kenneth Branagh won, and most deservedly, the Dennis Powell Award for Excellence in Film. A wonderful speech by Dame Judi Dench there, so fond of each other, and she was telling us some absolutely hilarious stories about him, and also some stories that gave me an inkling into how caring he was personally as somebody who was a well-known director, and also, of course, such a wonderful actor. But when you see his body of work, and we saw clips from them, I mean, that really was a fascinating insight into why this is such a good choice. So it was an evening that, well, it was unforgettable for me, and as you say, a wonderful meeting, really top figures in British film, but some choices that, well, on some of them, documentary, best documentary, Amy, to be sure. Screenwriters, Spotlight, won over Steve Jobs, and Technical Achievement, huge numbers of possibles.
Okay,
that.
Richard, let's hold it there. That's actually a Claire. Lots of sort of material there, including, of course, the headliner, Judi Dench gets a hug from Kenneth Branagh. Actually,
aww.
Exactly, some wonderful stuff there. Do you care about this? Or is it just a case of,
no,
look?
I do. I think that it's when something like the Golden Globes or the Academy Awards, like all of these award ceremonies are very influential on what
it's
people...
It's non-stop for like 3 months.
It's the views of, I guess, it influences what people will go see, people's attitudes towards cinema. It gets people talking about cinema and film.
Right, yeah, it does.
Yeah, and I think that that's really important, especially when, like, we have been talking about that fewer people are going to see films. If, like, we can talk about these things and talk about, as well as the positives, the negatives and the issues surrounding the industry, I think it's really important.
Personally, I think Netflix really needs to be concerned.
That is precisely what I was going to say.
I know.
Took the words right out of your mouth, to quote Meatloaf.
And, of course, the guru that is meat would obviously know.
But what I would mention that I wondered whether the attitude, and this, of course, has blown up into a really serious and embarrassing row for the Academy, as whether the attitude towards, or possibly the attitude towards Netflix and Beast of No Nation influenced the fact that, and I couldn't believe this, Idris Elba didn't get a nomination for Best Supporting Actor for Beasts at the Oscars. And in fact, this is 2 years running, All-White Oscars, has led to very, very fierce attacks on the lists, and also announcement by Spike Lee and Jada Pinkett Smith that they'll boycott the ceremony. And Cheryl Boone Isaacs, who is the first African-American president of the Academy, said that there are going to be big changes. Now, it's very, very difficult to change the Oscars because of the way the system functions at the moment. It proved over years, and still proves very difficult indeed for foreign language films to be nominated for Best Picture, and also actors in foreign language films to be nominated in the top categories. The facts are, however, that there is a definite feeling that 2 years running this has happened, and last year was outrageous with Selma. I mean, that was a film, it did get nominated for Best Picture, but Ava DuVernay didn't for Best Director, and David Oyelowo didn't for Best Actor as Martin Luther King. Here it was thought that, for example, Creed, Michael B. Jordan was ignored, Sylvester Stallone, and this was the Academy obviously giving a nod to someone that playing Rocky for the seventh time, they're deeply fond of. But the facts are, this is something that I haven't seen Will Smith for Concussion, a movie that hasn't previewed here yet, but the Globes had several African-American nominees. This has caused shock, the actual changes and how that will actually affect the Oscars in the future and how this will happen. They say also more gender equality, which one must welcome, though I have to say that one of the strongest features of this year's Oscars were the excellent level of, if you look at the roles for women, I mean, it really was, that was encouraging. But the fact that there have been no African-American nominees has cast a shadow over an Oscar ceremony where the...
Richard, we spoke at length about this on Saturday, and we can obviously download the podcast for that. Let's move to Tessa Snart. Tessa, what are your thoughts on the awards season?
Well, I was listening to the news the other day about, obviously, there being an all-white lineup, and a lot of people were...
It'll be all-white on the night. Sorry.
I know, sorry. And I know people were surprised that Straight Out of Compton wasn't, like, obviously nominated, because that's been advertised a lot.
But it was written by white people.
So I was shocked at that as well. So.
Okay. Emily?
To be honest, I still can't get over that Mad Max beat The Revenant. I'm just, that's thrown me.
Still in a state of shock.
I mean, Mad Max, don't get me wrong, I like it, but it's the kind of film that I call brain candy. It's kind of you turn on, you turn your brain off. For. I still can't believe that beat The Revenant at all.
It was amazing.
Well, good role for women. Or woman?
No.
No, not a good role. No. Yeah, you'd even deny that as well. Yeah, fair point.
Yeah.
Richard, stay with us. We'll talk about, obviously, the two movies you want to mention as well in a few seconds, but time for a little musical break. I wonder if in the Dancy household they were influenced by the Monkees and Mary Mary back in the day. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? It's a different line entirely. Richard, important time now because we've been joined. We've become a magnificent seven. Technically, excuse myself, a hateful eight. Well, maybe not. But it's always important to actually say it's time to reveal another special introduction for the next soul who's actually joined the team. And so...
Singer, scholar, festival ambassador and midweek drivette. It's Eva MacDonald on the Midweek Drive.
Yes, she's got her own jingle. And more than that, just ensuring that we actually have gender balance to the fore as far as life's concerned.
Singer, scholar, festival ambassador and Midweek Drivette. It's Eva MacDonald on the Midweek Drive.
Yeah, we will actually get some Asian Americans and Africans as well to actually do the whole thing. So we'll actually cover the whole piece, really. Eva, welcome to the programme. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very well. Thank you.
Excellent. And back on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, of course, because now you're working on a Wednesday.
Yeah. So
it's okay. Exactly. So it's all there. Well, of course, it does give us the chance to again speak with the wonderful Richard Fitzwilliams. But before we return to Richard, Eva, shocked that Mad Max won the Critics Circle Awards, or is it a case of whatever?
Doesn't really bother me.
Here we are, you see, the Lincoln view.
The way.
The only soul in the studio who actually lives and is born in Lincoln, keeping it local. There we are, you see. That's even doing all the stuff there. I noticed also, Richard, if we look at the photographs there, there's a nice juxtaposition between Kate Winslet in one side there and, of course, our very own Emma Tinson and Ed Wellman actually there as well. So nice little juxtaposition from that point of view. So, in fact, actually, Emma, if you look at that, yes, she's almost doing herself an injury there, by actually, the way that you see there. Emma and Ed, of course, there, and Emma and Sarah, etc., and then juxtaposed with Kate and company as well. So I think,
clearly in the same league.
I think different leagues, Emma, and Kate would kill to actually be in your league. That's the important thing. So, right, we've done our little socials once again, Richard. A reminder, of course, I could ask you to actually sort of announce the entire team, but broadly speaking, we have Emma Tinson, Mary Dancy, Emily Jones, Tessa Snart, Claire Margerison, Natasha... I was going to say Campbell there for a minute. Natasha Chambers. No.
No.
first man on moon.
Armstrong.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. How outrageous. Yeah. And, of course, Eva MacDonald. As I say, a group of 7/8, etc. Let's go Tarantino. Richard.
Yes, and no doubt at all in The Hateful Eight. I mean, Quentin Tarantino has this unique way of telling a story. It appeals enormously to some. If you love it, you'll love him and thoroughly enjoy it. If you dislike it, stay away. It's a pretty simple rule. I mean, here you see with The Hateful Eight precisely the sort of techniques that have both appealed and... not in the sense that he didn't get the awards that you thought he might have. The long scene One of the things that I like about Tarantino's movies, and we're thinking of obviously Inglourious, You Know What, and also Django Unchained, the facts are that you get these very, very long scenes. And Tarantino, and here he excels himself, it's nearly 3 hours, you're drawn into the film and you get to know its characters. Whether or not you want to know all the characters in The Hateful Eight is quite another matter. But it does.
They're not very nice, are they, Richard? Let's face it. Well, but then again, you know, one might say that about a number of characters in Tarantino movies. We'll do a quick straw poll. Emma Tinson, Tarantino fan or not?
I've never been a major Tarantino fan. I've always been a bit iffy and just liked some of his films. But I have seen The Hateful Eight, and I did really like it, actually. I thought it was really clever.
Better than Mad Max?
Yeah, definitely.
There we are. Sorts on that particular perspective. He's only got another two movies to go before that's it. He doesn't want to do 10. So he's looking at two different genres for the whole thing. Mary Dancy, Tarantino?
Yeah, again, like Emma, not something that always jumps out at me to kind of have to go see that. But I did see Django and...
Pulp Fiction?
No,
Reservoir Dogs.
Kill Bill, is that Tarantino?
Part 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good for, of course, Uma Thurman and others, including, of course, David Carradine, I think, was one of his roles there. Emily?
To be honest, I'm starting my Tarantino education because all I've seen is Pulp Fiction so far. That's the only one of his films I've really seen, so I need to get around them before I can see Hateful Eight, let's face
it. Well, you certainly, at the build-up, there are several to see, and as you get... see more. It does draw you in because you know you're going to get riveting, often very funny dialogue, and you know also it's going to be very, very bloody.
In more sense of the word, of course. In all sense of the word, because he likes his grand guignol. That's his sort of...
Oh, he certainly does. And also, visually, they're rather extraordinary. The first image you see in this movie, and much of it is in 8 strangers seek refuge from a blizzard in a stagecoach stopover after the American Civil War. It's a scene of Christ on the cross, only the Christ figure has all been worn away. Christ does not reside in the wasteland that we're about to see.
Because he lives in the heart, Richard. He lives in the heart. Let's not get religious. Let's move on to Tessa.
Well, I'm exactly the same as Emily. I've seen Django and love that.
You haven't seen Inglourious?
No, I haven't.
Or Inglourious Beasts, etc. The opening sequence, actually, and the interrogation sequence with, I think it's Christopher Waltz.
Yes, exactly. Yes, remarkable.
That's probably one of the most powerful and disturbing interrogation sequences I've ever encountered.
It is indeed, because he plays the so-called Jew hunter, Major Hans Lander, a fastidious sadist who knows when he visits a French farmer that a group of Jewish...
And the switch between languages is something I've even considered...
Underneath the floorboard, he's playing on their fears and sensibilities, because he knows they can hear everything that he's saying.
Exactly.
He's searching for Jews, he's hunting them down.
And it's done so pleasantly and so politely. It's a technique I've thought of actually using in terms of feedback for students, but I thought maybe not.
That is a thought, because... Waltz won awards for his portrayal of this unforgettably vicious character who had all the characteristics of someone who's so fastidious.
Exactly. Precise.
And he draws out the scene, and this is the strength of The Hateful Eight, because it's divided into 6 sections, and in these various sections you start discovering a great deal more about the characters, especially Major Marquis Warren, played by Samuel L. Jackson, who is transporting...
Richard, at the end of the day, if it wasn't for his role as Nick Fury and Quentin Tarantino, Samuel Jackson would still be picking up his P-45 somewhere.
Well, he is at the top of the box office when it comes to so many things.
And again, his citations in Pulp Fiction, for instance, just mega. Particularly the Royal Arm with cheese.
Certainly are 1 or 2 quotes, but I won't...
true. Claire?
I've seen Pulp Fiction, and I've seen that scene you were talking about in Inglourious. But I haven't seen Hateful Eight, but my boyfriend has, and he didn't actually like it, even though he's a big Tarantino fan. So
there has been this feeling that the characters are, in fact, all, or perhaps they are, it depends on your judgment, just so hateful that it did. And I have to admit that when I left the cinema, I left it very, very admiring, and I had been drawn into the story, but... there is something about it that makes you perhaps reflect that Tarantino's view of the human condition is...
It's interesting, but it's remember, it's seen, hellish. It's seen through the lens of his early work as a video store clerk in downtown Hollywood. It's the kind of things that people would rent out, video nasties. It's not surprising it's sometimes confused when he comes on screen.
You've got Ennio Morricone.
Ennio Morricone should have an Oscar, an Academy Award.
Oh, he will get one, little doubt.
You never know, with the kind of shocks that work through. Natasha, Quentin Tarantino.
I can kind of take it and leave it. It depends what mood I'm in, because they're very intense, and sometimes I just want to...
Working with Jared Johnson on the Monday and Friday breakfast show, I'm not surprised you come out all coughs with pathological tendencies.
Sometimes I just like to, when I go to the cinema, sometimes I just like to escape, and if it's a really intense film sometimes, it's not kind of what I'll go for. I'll go for something just to unwind almost. And
I don't think Tarantino intends you should escape at all. Quite right. No. He believes that you should, in fact, experience the story and what he's planned when bounty hunters, their prisoner, and another rather strange renegade character who they pick up on the way, arrive at Minnie's haberdashery, and what happens at Minnie's and what previously
happened. What happens at Minnie's stays at Minnie's. Let's return to Eva MacDonald. Eva, are you drawn to Tarantino? Because, I mean, clearly, you know, it's got a graphic nature to the whole thing, but...
Did we say Tarantino was in Django?
He directed Django Unchained.
Unchained, and again, it was a film of tremendous power, and there were some amazing performances in Django. Little doubt also, you had the very typical Tarantino, the hallmarks of... in fact, I would say that one fault of Django, certainly toward the very end, is that there is so much blood and gore. But it's an amazing...
Well, Richard, let's just hold it there, because, you know, we can't... You know, it's coming up to 17 minutes to 9 o'clock. We can't, Richard. The whistle has gone. The referee has actually sort of gone extra in injury time. We've got Ian Lennox around from that point of view. We've still got to speak to nutritionist Fiona Hunter. We've got Zoe Griffiths, head of public health at Weight Watchers, talking about why women actually criticise themselves not once, 8 times a day. Unbelievable. Yeah, well, no, it's not good in any way, shape, or form. Specifically, the actual thing which we'll be talking about is, 8 times a day. Yeah. 2/5 of women claim that they've never had cause to feel complimentary about themselves. Outrageous. The vast majority of women, according to this particular survey, compliment others in ways they would never do themselves, and over half admit that they would like to be kinder to themselves. There we are. We shall talk about that and more, but after Emma Tinson has bowled those last two questions to you. Go, Emma.
Richard, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, with you all. I think it's the largest number.
It's quite phenomenal.
Yeah, definitely.
In Silent FM that I can remember. Seven.
Okay.
Well, would you like to come again and join us on the show next week?
I do hope so.
They're just a little bit concerned about life and all sorts of things. Foreigner and Urgent. Emma, of course, this could be a reaction to the shocking news of Jessica Ward leaving us for Spain, that actually she leaves and suddenly we get mega, mega attendances going. You know, it's
we're auditioning everyone to film this.
Well, it's very true.
You
cannot fill the void.
Well, we'll try. That's the important thing. I just find it extraordinary. She gets dual nationality and she goes to Spain.
Did she finish Ian Lennox's book?
Well, you see, this is the point.
Well, I've only just realised.
This is the critical...
If she did, it probably explains everything.
Ian, she's left the country.
Nothing left to do now.
I don't think I even played this, but I will in any case.
Journalist, TV producer, novelist and 21st century Newcastle man. It's Ian Lennox.
Yes. Okay, fine. So, moving on, Ian, quick introduction to the 7 co-presenters we have in the studio. We have Natasha Armstrong, named, of course, after the first man on the moon. In fact, it's N as well. It could have been N Armstrong. You could do a small step for Nottingham Lass, a giant leap for mankind. Eva MacDonald, of course, back with us. Mary Dancy and Claire Margerrison, Emma Tinson and Tessa Snart and Emily Jones. So there we are. You've got your chart together and you can actually...
Is that six women and yourself, Alex?
Seven.
Seven women.
Yeah, no, I don't.
You're not going to get a word in.
Now that's okay because
I was walking past this hedge a few months ago, and there must have been 100 birds and sparrows in it, and they're all chattering away. And I thought, that's why bloke calls women birds. They all talk at once.
Hi, my name is Amanda Lamb. I'll leave you with that, Alex.
You can face a rap.
No. Moving on. Natasha, one of the challenges that you actually have, of course, on the Monday and Friday Jared Johnson shows, when he actually gets psyched up to do them because they don't start again until February. Sorry, Jared, but it's okay. And let's face it, he started on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, Emma, did he not?
Yeah, back in the day.
Back in the day.
We showed him the ropes.
Right, exactly. That's the key thing. But he consistently talks football. And as an Arsenal supporter, that's most unusual. And you don't respond to that because you're more a rugby girl.
Yeah, I was... brought up on rugby. My whole family and godparents and extended family are all massive rugby fans. We're Wasps fans in my household, which my godfather doesn't like. Tigers being the obvious choice for locally.
Leicester.
Yes.
Is it Leicester or is it Nottingham?
Leicester Tigers.
Oh, no, are you Leicester or Nottingham based?
I'm Nottingham, but the nearest Premiership team's Tigers.
It's very confusing sometimes, Arthur. I mean, thank heavens Eva MacDonald is the sole Lincoln sort of soul actually here, who's keeping it local, wearing her nice Lincoln red there. She's very good. But Ian, from your own perspective, is that something? I mean, I know we could sort of say celebrate or rejoice. You're only 2 points or 4 points behind Chelsea in terms of Newcastle United. But what are your sort of sporting thoughts on this? Because on the other hand, Claire Margerrison, you just thought it was a case of it was sporting thoughts, as in jolly good old fellow.
Yeah,
it's very sporting.
It was just like jolly. Good reflections.
See, all these months we've been doing these pieces with you, Ian, and people have been confused about what we're talking about.
Really?
No. I'm always confused.
You've obviously been talking too much and I haven't got a word in.
Well, what's the weather like in Newcastle this morning, Ian?
What's the weather like in Newcastle? It's cold. It's winter. It's cold. It's wet. It's a bit icy. I haven't been out. Why would I? last night I went to the pub and it was icy on the pavement. Oh, wow. It is definitely cold. Yeah.
Well, it was snowing last week, so that's important. Nevertheless, for a change, and partly because Tessa actually said, can we actually have some Eagles in terms of the whole sort of sequence? Because obviously we lost another musician who's gone.
Oh, yes, they're going down like flies, aren't they?
I like to say...
But they really are, it's just horrible.
I like to think they're ascending to actually be part of Michael Jackson's backing band in heaven. So you've got Michael Jackson, you've got Lemmy from Motorhead, and others, as we've said, working through there.
So, and others. Like, I can't remember them, but they're there.
It would take too long to celebrate. Oh, and besides, we did a whole David Bowie piece, and of course, there's the drummer. Anyway, Tessa, would you like to seek Ian's advice in terms of what Eagles track we should hunt down? For this, because normally he gets a reprise of the Cameron Tilbury country song, and I thought, well, and he has to be polite about it. And we didn't actually mention last night when we featured Morgan Miles what Ian really thought about the whole thing, actually it was fairly positive. But Tessa, over to you.
Okay, well, does everybody want to pick?
Well, no,
like, should we have a mutual decision?
It's not a democracy. Okay. Let's face it.
I was going to say Hotel California.
Were you? Right, that okay. Would be okay. Does that float your boat, Arthur?
Yes, I like
Ian,
that one.
Sorry,
if
God.
Ian would
mind. Yeah, Ian. Well,
yes, I like Hotel California.
So not Take It Easy.
It goes on for a long time, doesn't it?
There's one of those nights, Take It to the Limit, Heartache Over, Get Over It, Tequila Sunrise. They've all actually gone. You've gone for Hotel California. Okay, that's perfectly okay. Emma, would you like to ask those last two questions to Ian Lennox? He's chosen that. We'll work through that. Go, Emma.
Yes, Ian, have you enjoyed your brief telephonic link with us today?
I have.
Oh, good. I think we've all tried to be quiet and not talk over you too much. Yeah. So would you like to come back on the show next week?
Clever of me, wasn't it?
Would you like to come back on the show?
Yes, I can talk a bit more, yes.
There we are,
you see. Get a word in.
Ian Lennox will say a quick hello, in about 7 days' time.